place I'd rather be.
Welcome to the Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
And we like to talk about Disney things. Specifically this week, we're talking about Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah.
Which people like.
So Joel had never seen this movie. No. And now I'm getting a sneaking suspicion that Joel's not enjoying this movie.
I like this movie.
By his mention of people liking it.
I like this movie. But because I hadn't seen it, you know, for the however 10 years or so it's been out now.
It's a long time.
And because, like, it was followed by so much stuff that was, like, the Stitch the movie sequel, then the TV series, and then Lilo and Stitch 2, and then just, like, the Leroy and Stitch. So there was so much, like, Lilo and Stitch stuff bombarding me for having never seen it. So I was like, you must like this one.
Yes, you do.
So Lilo and Stitch came out June 21st, 2002. And was the first feature-length animated film to be set in Hawaii.
So, like, ever?
I think so.
Well, I guess ever. I don't know what else to put there. I don't know why I asked ever. That's cool.
The thing I fell in, like, specified feature-length, so there might be some shorts or something.
Probably.
Somewhere.
I assume that there's definitely, like,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Shorts somewhere with Hawaiian things.
Yeah. The basis for this movie was, after, like, you know, Atlantis and Emperor's New Groove didn't make a ton of money, they decided we should make a smaller scale, less expensive film. Basically, and, like, Dumbo was cited as, like, after Pinocchio and Fantasia.
We gotta make something that's not crazy expensive, you guys.
They like,
we are poor.
Scale it back. So it's like, this kept us from being non-existent right here, so let's do that one again.
Yes.
And so that was the idea of Lilo and Stitch. Chris Sanders, who is the director and one of the co-writers, and also the voice of Stitch in the movie, had created the character of Stitch in 1985 for a children's book pitch that he had made and was unsuccessful.
Wow.
So he apparently had that in his back pocket all these years.
Nice.
And it was pretty successful. It grossed $145 million, which was the best since Tarzan. Mm-hmm. And I think that one with Princess and the Frog are the only two movies in the 2000s that had both critical praise and, like, made their money back in the first theatrical run.
That's cool.
So, about to go to a whole lot of, like,
I like a lot of the movies that are coming up, but they are a little, it's this one.
So, no, there's also, like, a lot of, like, really expensive ones coming up.
That's true,
so
yeah.
That, I don't think that helps. So, yeah, it probably helped that Lilo and Stitch was a little less of a money thing, yeah. But also, this is the first time since, like, the mid-40s that the backgrounds are painted in watercolors.
Holy crap.
Like, the traditional technique.
The backgrounds in this movie are ungodly gorgeous. They are so, so pretty. Well, everything's pretty in this movie,
yeah.
But the backgrounds...
Well, it's in Hawaii.
The backgrounds are so, so nice.
But that was also, like, to harken back to the style of Dumbo, and apparently a lot of the background artists had to, like, be specially trained in this technique, because they're like, we have not done this.
These people 40 years ago did this. What do we do?
This is not current. What? But yeah, let's jump into the movie.
Yeah, movie.
Starts off with the little Castle getting abducted.
That was really cute.
I think my favorite thing of this time frame is, like, stuff happening to the castle.
To the logo, yeah, because this is still before the fancy logo.
Yeah.
The big, you know, CG castle and stuff, which I like, but I like the little silhouette castle.
Yeah.
A lot. So it opens with a hearing of the Intergalactic Council. Is that what it's called? Something like that.
Yeah, Galactic Headquarters, something, something.
Some sort of council in space with a bunch of aliens. And they're charging this scientist whose name is Jumba for genetic experimentation, which is apparently illegal.
Yes.
Which, like, seems like a weird thing in space. Like, I feel like that would be totally standard. I mean, I guess maybe they have to be, like, licensed or something.
Well,
and he wasn't licensed. Maybe that was it.
The thing is, like, the thing that he had made was Stitch, and so, like, they reveal Stitch, and everybody's like, oh, look at that creature! I'm like, look at yourself!
You're sitting next to this guy with, like, seven arms.
Like, I feel like in a galactic organization where several different
There's a lot of species.
What is it about this particular set of antennae and arm arrangement that's like, this is universally disapproved?
It's weird.
I
feel like genetic experimentation should at least be allowed for, like, curing of diseases and making people healthier.
I don't know. I don't know what the galactic
rules are. I want further galactic backstory.
That was, like, a thing in the movie. They're very rigid with the rules. There's not, this flexibility on the rules and stuff. Apparently, though, a lot of the aliens in the background are, like, inspired by other Disney characters. And so there's, like, a Piglet alien and a Tigger alien.
I recognize the Piglet one. So, Jumba's created this thing, and he calls it Experiment 626. And it's Stitch, and he's apparently, like, swears like a sailor. He says something, and it, like, really freaks them out. And by that statement alone, they're like, nope, he's not worth anything. Better banish him or, like, take him to prison, which is weird.
Well, he whatever he says there is some, you know, random words, random alien words. But it apparently sounded enough of something in Chinese that could be offensive in Chinese. So they had to, like, when they were putting the subtitles, they had to also put subtitles for that. And so it, like, really changed the story because, like, the fact that Stitch is, like, can say words and is intelligent and, like, put together sentences happens, like, right here in the movie instead of, like, way on down the road.
That's weird. That's cool.
So, but yeah, they decide because he said these bad words, these bad alien words, that he's going to an asteroid. And his evil genius creator is getting prison forever.
Going to prison, yeah. So they put him on this prison ship. And
the most giant alien captain in the world.
Gantu is huge. He's, like, unnecessarily large. He's like if an elephant stood up on its hind legs, basically. So they put him in this thing. It, like, mounts him to the ceiling, and then there's guns that, like, lock onto his genetic signature. But he, like, spits it.
Yeah, which he uses to his advantage.
Like, this is not difficult, you guys.
Well, that's the thing, is, like, you know, he set up all the stuff he experimented on Stitch. And so he's, like, super indestructible and, like, fireproof and really, really smart and can figure his way out of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, look at that. Figured his way out of stuff.
Look at that. But he manages to escape the ship. He gets, like, a little escape pod. Yeah. He jumps into hyperspace.
Okay. Here's the thing. I had a Disney Adventure magazine from around this time.
This time period.
And there was, you know, this little, like, did you know thing. And it was like, Stitch had stolen this, like, rare concept, modified, brand new police cruiser, which is how he was able to outrun all the other police cruisers.
He jumped into hyperspace.
Which was lucky, because he only chose it because he liked the red one. And there was no mention of that in this movie.
There was
one. Like, the guy was like, he took the red one.
Yeah. But, I mean, he wasn't even really able to outrun them. He just jumped into hyperspace and the other ones didn't.
I don't know. Maybe that one had a better hyperspace drive.
I
don't know. I was waiting this whole movie for some guy to be like, you're lucky you took the red one because of technical jargon.
Apparently not.
No, nothing. It was like this supplement for this Disney magazine.
Ends up landing on Earth, and he almost lands in water, and he can't land in water because something about his molecular structure is too fast.
Yeah, like, that's what they said, but
he's definitely in water.
He gets in water
and doesn't, like, implode or
like
anything.
The first time he lands, like, it starts raining on him. I'm like, oh no, rain!
He seems annoyed by water, and he's definitely afraid by it, but I don't quite understand what that means, like, what it would do to him. Because it definitely doesn't do much other than make him angry.
Well, they're, like, tracking his hyperspace, and first of all, it goes to Earth, which is in Sector 17, Area 51, so, like, Area 51.
Yeah.
See what
like
you did there?
Fun.
And
they introduce Pleakley.
Yes, because
he comes to talk to the, like, grand councilwoman lady.
Yeah, he's
he's
official alien.
He's an Earth expert. I love it when the little alien's like, he's going to be landing on some planet called ER. Yep. Can we please just rename the planet ER? He's got a viewfinder.
He has a viewfinder.
I love that.
Which is amazing because that works with two eyes. And he has one eye, and he frequently gives it to aliens with four eyes.
It was made in, 2002. I don't think kids even had viewfinders during when this movie was made. I had them as a child, so I was thrilled to see one.
My grandmother still had, I guess it was my mom's and her sister's viewfinder, yeah. But, there was a viewfinder at my grandmother's house, so,
We had one at home, and if I'm not mistaken, actually, I totally had, Disney World viewfinder things.
Yeah.
So, That's how he got his information. They think that mosquitoes are an endangered species, so he tells them that they can't destroy the planet or the island.
Yeah. They land, or they have this projected map of where Stitch is gonna land, and
it looks like ocean, and then it looks like ocean, and then it looks like a little tiny string of planet, and they're like, you've gotta be kidding, right?
it was Kauai.
Yeah.
So, I'm really curious as to, how accurate later, because, they're, basically, this is the island he's gonna land on.
Yeah.
So, how accurate parts of the island were that they were doing.
I've been to Kauai when I was very little. We went when I was, 3 or 4, so I don't remember it very well.
Do you remember any large cities?
No.
Apparently there's no large cities.
I don't believe that there are any large cities on Kauai, no. There's a chain of islands, and some of them are bigger than the others, and it's not one of the biggest islands. So there's not a lot of large metropolitan areas in Hawaii anyway. There's some, but it's small.
And then we finally get to Earth, and that's when the titles start.
Yep.
It takes 10 minutes.
The titles.
It takes 10 minutes and so much plot for these titles to appear.
This is also the first song in the movie.
Yes.
I don't remember the name of the song. I should. I had the soundtrack.
This isn't a musical, but there are very well-defined background songs, and there's a lot of Elvis.
And it's done by a children's choir, Hawaiian children's choir, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And everything is kind of half in Hawaiian, half in English, which is very cute. And nice. It's nice because it makes sense in the context of the story.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name of the song, though. I love all of these songs, though. This is one of my favorite Disney soundtracks.
Yeah. So, we see Lilo.
Swimming.
Swimming. Feeding fish peanut butter sandwiches. Which will be important later on.
Pudge. My favorite part of the scene is that she's changing into her hula outfit, as she goes. But the funniest thing is that when she pulls her hula skirt over her little bathing suit, and then when she gets inside, she's got a little hula top on. Yeah. Where did your hula shirt come from? I don't understand how this happened. She would have had to take off the skirt, then the bathing suit, put the hula top on, pull the skirt back up. That seems awfully a lot of things to happen in the 10 seconds it takes her to get through the door.
I don't know.
Magic.
There you go. But yeah, she's late for, I guess, dance practice.
Yeah.
And she's all wet, so everybody slips on the puddle that she has made on the stage.
She punches Myrtle, and then she bites her.
Out of nowhere!
She's, kind of an emotionally traumatized child.
She is, we learned she's had a hard life.
I mean, Myrtle's also not very nice to her later in the movie, but she also, punched her in the face and bit her, so I can't say I blame
Myrtle. I would not be,
but
forgive and forget.
They kind of try to imply previous problems with girls at school.
Yeah, and, I read that they were six, so...
Sometimes, when you're six.
Yeah.
People are just terrible.
Well, is there, a really good six-year-old? It really reminds me of the six-year-olds that I've worked with.
They are very accurate to six-year-olds.
So.
Especially a weird six-year-old. So she tells her hula teacher that she had to go give Pudge the Fish a peanut butter sandwich because he controls the weather. And the saddest thing about this is later on in the movie she says that her parents died in a car accident when it was raining. So essentially Lilo is feeding this random fish because she thinks if she does, then the weather will be good and nobody else will die.
Is sad.
Isn't that disturbing? I didn't even think about that until recently, and I was like, Oh my god. Like, I thought this delightful scene about her being quirky and feeding fish sandwiches was just silly. I'm like, no, she just doesn't want anybody else to die. That's so sad.
But she couldn't feed him tuna.
She couldn't feed him tuna because that's cannibalism.
She'd be an abomination. I really like that she used the word abomination.
It's good. And she's told to wait on the porch for a nanny, who is her sister, to come pick her up. And she doesn't. She goes and tries to follow the other girls because they're gonna go play dolls. Wants to play dolls with them.
She made her own doll, which
her
is
name
this
is Scrump.
This like horrendous like.
I love Scrump. She's like this green thing with like mismatched button eyes and like ridiculous stick up hair, and her head is like twice as large as it should be. She's like, I pretend the bugs laid in her ears, and then she has to have surgery.
I do really like that solution. I remember making, it was some sort of, like, model rocket, Pinewood rocket kind of thing, but the hook that you slide it on had been in the wrong spot, so, like, we had to uproot into this giant hole, and I was just like, okay, it was in space battle, here we go, that's what it reminded me of.
Kids are always so intrepid in their decisions about toys.
It's like, the reason this doesn't work is because past story. There you go. Yeah.
So
I guess she goes home.
She goes home.
After the girls are mean to her.
She mopes. But Nani goes to pick her up and she's not there.
Yes.
And then when she gets back to the house, the door is locked, and Lilo is lying on the floor listening to Elvis, and she's, like, hammered. Like, she's nailed
the
door
shut.
Which is ridiculous. Yes. I wouldn't have even known how to do that at six. I mean, I knew how hammer and nail worked, but I wouldn't have been like, yep, this will keep the door closed. What?
I'm not sure I knew how to get access to hammer and nails.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't have known where to get them.
As a six-year-old. But the reason, apparently, it's really important is that a social worker is coming over.
Yes.
Who ends up being Cobra Bubbles.
Cobra Bubbles. I love this entire scene. It's so awkward and so funny.
He is voiced by, Bubbles is voiced by Ving Rhames, who was in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
And so he's totally modeled after his Pulp Fiction look because he has the same earring and everything.
He does!
I'm like, that's impressive.
So he talks to Lilo and she, Nani is miming things for her to say about, like, how their life is. But I don't even know what she was intending her to say. She shakes her fist. She says, and I get punished.
Well, she, you know.
Discipline. That's what she's
saying. Yeah,
discipline.
I get discipline. And some of the stuff where, you know, Nani's like, stop. And she has her hand up for stop. And Lulu turns around and says, like, five times. But then she starts being like, with a brick. And I'm like, I don't know.
Out.
I didn't see any sign language that I could ever interpret to be with a brick. So, Lilo is all kinds of difficult.
She is.
And, you know,
really bad for Nani this whole movie.
Not, you know, not in a way that's not understandable,
but
really difficult.
She is a much more difficult six-year-old than most, I would say. And she seems to be, a lot of the times, like, purposefully difficult. Like, sometimes you can tell that she's just being frustrating to be frustrating.
Yeah. But I also don't think she would fully grasp the importance of this one person.
This conversation.
Needing to, go well.
Yeah.
She also had a book called Practical Voodoo.
She puts her little friends in the jar. My friends need to be punished. I love how that line is delivered just so, like, monotone and straight face, like, obviously, this is what is happening. It is very serious.
So, Bubbles gives them 3 days to clean everything up and get their act together.
Right.
Although he comes back a lot.
He comes back, well, yeah, and he also comes back 2 days later, and everything's going so poorly.
Yeah.
That he decides that 2 days is
enough. He's like, that's enough.
Okay.
And then
they have a fight.
Yeah.
I really like this fight. Because it seems very much like sisters.
It's a very sistery fight, yeah.
Yeah.
And in a relationship where one is now having to take care of the other, it's still very clear that they're sisters.
Yeah. Also, there's a huge age difference between them.
19 and 6, so yeah. 13 years. Yep, yep.
I never really thought about it until now.
But so they make up, they, you know, they repair their tattered relationship.
Oh, it makes me so sad.
It's really nice when they make up.
Yeah.
And then they see Stitch crashing to the earth.
And Lilo prays for a friend, and she wants God to send her an angel, his nicest one. Like, that's not your nicest one. This is a terrible choice. But oh, it's so sweet. Yep. She's so lonely.
Mm-hmm. And so they decide to go and get a dog.
Oh, well, first Stitch but what has
happened? Yeah, but what has happened is Stitch
was crushed by a truck, and then they called, like, you know,
I guess, yeah, animal services
or whatever, and they took him to the pound.
Come and get this dead carcass that they thought Stitch was, because like four trucks ran over him.
Yeah, and he was like fine.
Yeah,
and he wakes up and all these dogs are like cowering in a corner of the kennel. Oh, it's so funny. And they did. Lilo goes in to look for a dog, and she immediately chooses Stitch. Stitch hugs her. Well, first Stitch does that weird, creepy transformation thing. I don't like that. It unsettles me.
Or his antenna and extra arms disappear?
It's the arms that creep me out. The antenna are tiny. The arms, it's like... it makes, like, a terrible noise.
I don't know. It's cool.
It's impressive, but it's gross.
But he sees this picture, this little cartoon poster on the wall of a dog hugging a girl. And so he goes and copies it.
Yep.
And this just, like, melts in his heart.
Yep.
Which would be understandable if a dog
could come up with
him. He does say hi.
Hi.
In his little Stitch voice.
And, like, the conversation that ensues is so awesome. Just like, wouldn't you like a better dog? We think it's... Is that a dog? I think it's a dog. But it was run over this morning. Oh, it's so awkward.
It's really great. I really like this tiny one scene character.
And the lady who works the pound. Yeah. Like, that's not a real name in Iceland.
She's trying to, when she names her Stitch, when she names Stitch Stitch, then they're like, no, that can't be.
That's not a real name.
And I was like, just let this one go. This is not the battle worth fighting here.
So
they adopt Stitch, and meanwhile, up in the galactic,
yeah,
galactic organization,
whatever,
they have sent somebody after Stitch, and so they've decided that his creator can, like, I guess he'll be pardoned. Jumbo will be pardoned.
Jumbo will be pardoned if he can catch Stitch.
Yeah.
And they've chosen Pleakley to look after him. I don't know why. That's a terrible plan.
So
they send them off.
Yeah, so they're on Earth now, and Stitch can sense them, I suppose.
He can smell them.
He can hear them.
Yeah, he's got really good hearing.
They mentioned the hearing. And so he's using this family as a shield.
Yep.
So they can't capture him, which is really awesome. But we learn a little bit more about, like, Stitch's, I guess, his programming, for lack of a better word, his, like, main function is to destroy things, is to just, like, cause havoc and...
Yeah. Oh, wait, do we get the "I'm sorry I bit you and pulled your hair and punched you in the face" scene first?
Yeah, that's right here, because, like, he says what Stitch is gonna do, and this is where they see the trikes.
Yeah. And so, Stitch pushes Myrtle off her trike, and it's like a big wheel, too. It's like a big plastic thing, and they bike to every part of the island.
That's the thing, is how big is Kawaii? Can you big wheel trike your way
across the island? I mean, Stitch is really, really strong and fast, so probably, I guess. I don't know.
Like, going with gusto everywhere.
I don't think it's supposed to be realistic.
Well, they do, like, nobody has yet questioned that this dog is blue.
Yeah, which is weird.
Like, the fundamental thing is blue.
Like, his ears are weird, and he doesn't stand on all four legs very often, but the blue thing seems most often.
Blue guys.
Most, like, the problem. But, yeah, Jumba says that his plan is to go to the largest city that he can get to and destroy everything and block water services and steal everyone's left shoe.
Yeah. But he can't find a large city.
My favorite is Lilo just being like, it's so nice living on an island with no large cities. So she just like freaks out and falls over.
Somewhere in here, though, there, I guess it was like kind of in this whole montage point, Stitch spots that like they walk by this store that's showing a monster movie
on the TV. Yeah.
It's showing, I think it was showing Tarantula.
Yeah.
So it's either Tarantula or Spider. Like, there's two horror movies, and one's called Tarantula and one's called Spider. So I think it was Tarantula, but it totally could have been Spider.
Oh, the intricacy of horror movies.
And so, but that comes up later because that night.
He builds a little city.
Yeah, Lilo says, like, you're always destroying things. Which he is. Like, the first thing he does is go into the house and, like, wreck everything.
Yep.
And, you know, tries to give him away. This is the first, you know.
Oh, we get introduced to David first, though.
Oh, we do get introduced to David.
David and his butt and his fancy hair. I love it.
That's another really six-year-old thing to do. Like, I read her diary.
She likes your butt and your fancy hair. And the first thing he says is, she thinks it's fancy. I love that line so much. So, I also love that she's making this little drawing of Stitch, and she's colored him, like, probably three-fourths of the way in red. And she's like, this is your bad level. It's unusually high for someone your size.
So this whole scene is that David works at a restaurant with Nani.
They work at, like, a luau thing.
Yeah. Which, like, I guess is a tourist destination. It's a tourist luau, yeah. It's pretty, pretty touristy looking. Everybody has cameras.
Yep.
And so they...
He lights part of the stage on fire. He's like a... He's a fire juggler.
Yeah. And she's a waitress, but then she ends up... The Jumba is, like, they're trying to steal away Stitch still, and...
Stitch tries to eat Poikley's head.
Yeah, and he gets mistaken for, you know, harassing the customers since they're dressed up in the worst possible human costumes ever.
Oh, man. Poikley, especially in the animated series, has a really big thing about dressing like a lady, and he loves wigs. So every time he messes with his wig, it makes me laugh.
That's the thing, is, like, I had seen, like, you know, in passing a couple of episodes of the animated series. So, like, I really recognized all of these...
People?
Yeah, all the character designs and stuff, yeah. Especially with, like, the aliens. And so, like, I was like, oh, he's the bad guy? He's an evil genius? I thought he was so nice. And so later, I was like, yay! He's better now.
But Nani loses her job.
Yeah.
And, so...
She's ready to...
This is the first time that I've realized that all of that happens in one day.
Yeah.
That's a long day.
Yes.
Very traumatizing long day.
So I could understand at the end of that day being ready to be like, no, Stitch, no.
No.
New dog, non-blue dogs from now on.
But yeah, he makes a little San Francisco and he destroys it.
He does. And this is one of the license plates. Like, he has a license plate in part of the thing, and it's a A113 license plate, which is, you know, the Pixar thing.
Yeah.
And then they were... Everywhere. Every license plate, if not every, almost every license plate in this movie is A113.
That's
like
funny.
The Beetle is one, and the gasoline truck has one on each side. It's A113, and the fire truck after the house. So it's like...
It just got really lazy.
Everybody...
That'd be fun.
Everyone on this island has the same license plate. You can commit all kinds of crime. Nobody would ever know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so.
And then Pleakley gets to meet the mosquitoes.
Yes.
A mosquito has chosen me for her perch. He's so excited. And then he gets, like, entirely covered.
I really wish there would have been more, like, regret for mosquitoes.
Yeah, me too. That would have been really funny.
Because, yeah, that. Because, oh. Oh, I care not for mosquitoes.
And then Lilo wakes Nani up.
Yeah.
Because she's figured out that Stitch is a record player.
Well, this starts up this whole, like, day-long montage of trying to get a job.
Gotta get a job.
Bubbles comes back to say
gotta
that...
Gotta get a job and make Stitch...
She no longer has a job, and Stitch needs to be a model citizen. By the time he gets
the dog needs to be a model citizen.
Well, to be totally fair, he probably knew that it was an alien.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So, but, they... Lilo decides that the best model for a model citizen
is Elvis. She loves Elvis.
She's going to be so crushed when she finally, like, in third grade, gets to do Elvis a project on Elvis.
Elvis. I don't know about model citizen Elvis. But there's this delightful montage of trying to make Stitch into Elvis.
Well, this is the one I was like, there's a lot of, like, live action. Like, there's the monster movie, and then there's, like, live action picture of Elvis. I don't think since, like, Three Caballeros, we've got so much live action in one of our animated movies.
It's true.
He tries to
dance. Or, no, he plays guitar and dances. Mm-hmm. Well, he plays ukulele.
Yes.
And then he
plays electric ukulele, though, even though it's clearly an acoustic ukulele.
And isn't plugged into anything.
Electric ukulele noises come out of it.
Yes. And then he tries to woo a lady.
Mm-hmm.
And then he has a full-on Elvis transformation.
He puts it all together and does full Elvis impersonation.
It's pretty impressive. But then he freaks out when people start taking pictures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So everything goes wrong. That's the recurring theme of the day, is everything goes wrong.
Yep.
So he ruins basically every job opportunity that Nani has.
Which is a lot.
Yeah.
Jeez.
That's a lot of jobs on this small little island.
Seriously.
Okay, and let's see, like, so she does answer one want ad, but then I think she, like, was cold calling the coffee place, basically.
Yeah.
And the cashier place. Although the lifeguard seemed interested until they ruined the beach and knocked over the lifeguard stand.
It's true. That was pretty intense.
Just like this panic crowd knocked over this lifeguard stand. Yes. And I was like, wow, good on you, panic crowd.
That's impressive.
Somebody has been doing push-ups on this on this beach.
And then David suggests that they do some surfing.
They do surfing. Surfing makes everything better.
I really love this sequence. The song is called Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride.
Yeah.
It's just really pretty.
It's very nice. It's very relaxing. It makes me feel better.
I know. After all this turmoil, it feels very nice to watch.
It's like a little, all right, here we go.
Except for then, Jumbo, like, jumps out of the wave to steal Stitch.
Well, they mentioned that, like, they'd gone surfing, and they come on the beach, and Stitch wanted to go back do more surfing, which he struck Jumbo as really interesting because...
Because he's supposed to be afraid of water.
Yes. So he didn't know how he was, like, willing returning to the water, but that was where he was going to get him. So he comes out like a scary shark.
Yep.
In a horror movie and snatches Stitch, and there's this whole little...
And then Stitch grabs Lilo, and it's a big mess, and... Yeah.
So they're fighting, and David rescues everybody.
Yeah, David.
Because he's pretty cool.
David's cool.
That's basically all he does. He comes in every now and then to rescue everybody.
It's awesome.
But the end result is, like, they wash up on the beach, and everybody's, like, all worn out, and there's Bubbles being like... No.
No. It is pretty dangerous to take a six-year-old out surfing with you.
I don't know, like...
I mean, okay, it's not, like, the most dangerous activity you can do, but if you know that you're under supervision for custody, I wouldn't take my kid surfing.
Well, like, you're clearly good at surfing, and that's clearly, like, what you do all the time. It's what your kid has clearly done before.
I guess so.
And you have David out there, and it's not like they put her on a you know, board of her own, and being like, go surf now.
No, I know. But
they didn't know that aliens were going to attack from the depths.
But it's still not the wisest choice, perhaps. Maybe they could have gone at for ice cream instead.
I don't know. Stitch would have messed that up.
That's true. Probably would have set it on fire or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
this is the sad scene.
Oh, it's so sad.
Everything's sad for a long time right here.
Oh, it's so sad.
Bubbles basically says, like, I'm coming by tomorrow to take Lilo away. So,
yeah.
Say your goodbyes.
They have to, like, have a conversation about it. And she sings and it's really sad.
They somehow, like... It's decided that Stitch is going to leave. And because Stitch doesn't, like, talk very much, I'm not sure,
David told him that he's basically ruined everything, which is pretty much true.
Yeah.
And I guess he just felt bad, which is weird. That's a very sudden personality change there.
Well, they thought he was talking to a dog.
That's true.
But it was a little weird because a lot of this, like, exposition here is all put on Lilo because she can talk.
Right.
And so, but yeah, the end thing is that Stitch is gonna leave.
The scene makes me cry.
It's sad. So throughout the movie, Stitch has had this ugly duckling book.
That's sad, too.
And there's this sad, sad page of the duck being like, I'm lost! And Stitch just, like, opens it up and looks at it.
And he teaches himself to say, I'm lost. And it's sad. And then Nani sings, and it's sad.
Yep.
Everything's sad in the scene.
And so the next morning, this is where Wiggles is going to get Stitch.
And David comes to the door and says that
he's found her a job.
He's
found Nani a job.
But she leaves Lilo alone again, and I don't understand why she couldn't have left David. Like, he mentions a specific name of who's hiring, so she clearly knows who it is, otherwise he wouldn't have mentioned. And, like, she leaves her alone. I don't understand why she doesn't leave David with her, or at least...
Especially
take Lilo with her, or at least wait until he comes and be like, I have to go, I might get a job, like, leave her with Bubbles. Yeah,
especially with the social service guy, like coming on his way.
In the next, like, hour. I don't understand.
But she leaves Lilo and gives her very clear, like, don't answer the door for anything. And then as soon as she leaves, Stitch runs in with laser guns being fired at him.
So Jumba's come to get him. Somewhere in here they got fired.
Yes.
I don't remember where that was. Somewhere in the sadness.
Yeah.
All I have for the sadness is BRB crying forever in my notes. So I don't quite remember.
Yeah, it was after that. It was after the failure.
Pleakley and Jumba are decided to
But that's the thing, is because they've been fired, they can now do it Jumba's way.
Which is charge in and shoot everything.
Yes.
So they essentially, like, destroy the house.
Yes, so there's this whole extended silly, silly fight sequence, which I really like because it has, like... There's a punch buggy joke. Aww. There's, like, basically, like, rabbit season, duck season as jokes going on.
It's a good fight scene. It's pretty delightful.
Yes, it's fun. But it results in the house exploding.
But first, Lilo calls Bubbles because she's home alone. We told her next time that she was home alone to call him, especially if there is a problem.
The problem is that aliens are attacking the house.
And so... Nani sees the fire truck go by, and she's like, please, don't turn left, and it turns left.
Yeah.
So she runs out there. The house is, like, exploded. It's, like, pretty much gone.
Yeah. And Bubbles is taken Lilo.
Yeah.
And I really feel like somebody somewhere in here needs to take a moment for explanation as to why this house exploded.
Why the house is on fire, yeah. I don't know. Especially because it wouldn't look like normal explodey things. They're like plasma guns.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Lilo gets out of the car when they're not paying attention and runs off. And Stitch finds her.
And this is where she learns that Stitch is an alien.
Yeah.
This is where she first starts to notice something's weird about her talking. like walking blue dog. to be six again.
Yeah. But, Ganty shows up.
Yes.
And captures both of them.
And is giant.
He's so huge.
Like, he's crushing the trees as he walks by. He is.
But Nani goes looking for and sees him take both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Freaks out.
So he basically, like, he gets Stitch and just kind of gets caught in the cross net.
But Stitch gets out.
Yeah, but Stitch escapes.
Basically he's just kidnapped a random small Hawaiian girl.
He's gonna show up at the Galactic.
I found him!
He's like, maybe he has... powers to transport. We know his arms can disappear.
So, maybe. Nani's understandably upset.
Yes.
But they decide to go fix it.
Yeah, this is the next, like, family means nobody's left behind or forgotten.
Ohana.
And so Stitch starts to talk like crazy.
He does!
Like, he has soliloquies, and he has, like, verb pronunciation.
Verb,
like,
placement.
Yeah, like, good job, Stitch.
Yeah, it's true.
So, by the way, like, all these aliens talk perfect English.
They do speak English.
Which is really nice.
And it's a friend, Gemma speaks with a Russian accent. I don't know why.
So, yeah.
It works really well with this character, but it's just so funny.
So these two rogue fired aliens decide to team up.
Help out. Might
with
well.
This, you know.
Got nothing else to do.
Blue Dog Genetic Experiment 66 Stitch.
And they,
because they have a spaceship.
Yep.
And yeah, then there's a spaceship chase scene.
It's a good spaceship chase scene.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Originally, this was supposed to, like, involve Stitch and Jumba hijacking an airplane and chasing him on a spaceship through Hawaii, crashing into lots of buildings, and they'd all animated it, and then September 11th happened, so they were like,
ew.
New animation.
That doesn't even make any sense anyway. Spaceship thing is much better.
Well, it kind of answers a question that I would have had. It was like, how big a Earth?
Yeah.
Just like, they make this little side book, like, how do you think we get to Earth? There's a spaceship. So here's our spaceship problem solved. So they did that, and then they moved the chase scene to the mountains, where there's lots more vegetation and lots less people.
Buildings.
So that's the one that you've seen in the movie.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a big chase scene, and Stitch saves the day.
Yes. So he saves the day by hijacking a gasoline truck, driving it into some lava, and then tearing it open. So that there's a massive explosion, which, because he's fireproof and most damage-proof, just projects him into the sky, which is pretty awesome.
It's pretty ridiculous.
That might be my favorite
part of this movie.
Yes.
Favorite scene.
And I really like that it was set up very clearly, like, in his opening thing. Like, he is fireproof.
Yeah.
And near indestructible. Boom,
yeah.
Boom, boom. So that...
just makes sense.
An hour and a half later... he could tear open a gasoline truck.
I hate to think of what he did to that, like, beautiful volcanic area.
That's true.
So, yeah. But he saves the day, and they land in the water, and David's there on his surfboard, and he's like, what? And they're like, can you take us back to shore? And he's like, I had to make two trips. That's his immediate response. Like, why is there a giant spaceship? What are these aliens doing? No. I'd have to take two
trips. Well, the thing is, like, most people are, like, alarmingly well adapted to these aliens.
It's true.
Like, and there's some, like, you know...
a lot of them just kind of go with it.
Yeah, clearly Nani, like, has this preoccupation of she needs to get Lila back.
Yeah.
So, like, she can put her freak out on hold.
David's
like,
goes with it.
Okay. Well, the thing is, like, they get to shore and there's Bubbles being totally chill about the aliens.
He is. But that's explained.
Yeah, so I had all of my notes being like, Bubbles! Where's your appropriate freakout? Come on, man!
He doesn't need one.
So.
They get to shore, and Bubbles and the intergalactic people are all there, and they take Stitch. And Stitch is like, can I say goodbye? And he's like, the like, chairwoman or whatever is like, yeah, I guess so. He, like, goes to say goodbye, and she's like, what?
Yeah, because Stitch learned a super elegant talk in, like, 3 days.
True.
Good job, Stitch. And yeah, they acknowledge that the chairwoman is apparently knows Bubbles.
Yep.
Because he worked for the CIA at Roswell.
He had hair then. So she allows Stitch to stay because they legally own him.
Yes, so they use the giant stickler for rules to their advantage. So, yeah, they successfully now own Stitch.
Yep.
And they're gonna keep him. And so...
and the family is under protection.
Yes, because he's still technically in exile, but he's
right.
In exile on Earth.
So the family is under protection by the Intergalactic Federation or whatever.
But all the other aliens are pretty much just banned from getting to go back.
I love that she just says, like, don't let them get on my ship. I wouldn't either, really, with all of this nonsense.
But now there's aliens.
It's true.
There's, like, 3 different aliens from 3 different species, 3 different evolutionary tracks from 3 different worlds all over the galaxy, all on this little Kauai island.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Doing what? How do they, you know, eat? How do they make the money to get the food to eat? How do they contribute to Hawaii society?
I haven't seen a lot of the animated series, but I assume it goes into that a little bit more.
That's what I want to know.
I assume that Jumba, at the very least, he's a scientist. He wouldn't stop being a scientist. So I'm sure he's an inventor or something. He makes money.
Starts making crazy advances.
He made those little hover cars for them.
He did. So we get this ending, happy ending montage.
He's so cute.
That goes.
When they're all one big happy family and they do silly family
things. I really like them as a family because there's like some aliens and Stitch and Bubbles is still in lots of the pictures.
Yeah.
And David and Nani are together.
Yeah.
And they all have, you know, Christmas together.
It's so cute.
And they have Thanksgiving.
They go to Graceland.
It's Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving.
It's Norman Rockwell Thanksgiving. Jumbo comes in dressed up as Santa. It's so good.
Which is nice because they mentioned Christmas earlier.
Yes, they
and
have.
They all knew exactly what Christmas was.
Yep.
Which is really good.
Yeah. I really like this ending. It's really cute.
I like the ending. I like photo montage endings.
Yes, I do too.
And so, and then we get music.
Really, really ridiculously high-pitched cover of I Can't Help Falling in Love with You.
Yep.
Yeah.
From
it's like 18. Super, super early 2000s poppy.
Yeah.
It's not as bad. It's getting slowly better. The ending credit music is getting slowly better. I miss when they just used to play score.
No, you gotta have the single
tie-in,
now.
Tie-in, yeah.
To sell your CD disc and to throw the music video on the DVD
and put it on Disney Channel 24/7.
Yeah, there you go.
I love this movie. I love this movie a lot. It's definitely up there in my favorites.
I liked it a lot. I still really, really like the trailers, but best.
The trailers best.
I still think that was my favorite part of this movie.
That's really funny.
Was because, like, I remember it, and I thought there was, like, the first trailer, and this little weird creature, and I thought, it's, like, living in Beast's castle, and they're gonna Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Beauty and the Beast, and it's gonna be awesome.
That would have been really dumb. And I'm now glad they did not do that.
And now it's Stitch crashing up everything.
I really love this movie a lot. I love the relationship between Nani and Lilo. I think it's portrayed really well. And I love Lilo as a character. She's just so weird and six and weird.
She's very six. I think that's,
yeah.
I think that's the
she's,
best
she's
way.
She's really appropriately
the best
six.
Possible way to describe Lilo. She's very six in this movie.
And I love all the music, and the background paintings are gorgeous. And the aliens are fun.
I really like the definition of family
I do
in the
too.
Movie and how they acknowledge this is, you know, a different type of family and how it's a really different type of family,
yeah.
You know? It's like you have your standard nuclear family and then you have these variations and then,
you have aliens.
You've got this alien and this CIA agent who pops by for holidays.
Yep.
But how, like, okay they were with that.
Yes,
and how,
I like that a lot.
You know, this is okay and everybody loves each other.
Yep.
And this is what family means, so...
Yeah.
I really liked that. I did like the aliens.
The aliens are fun.
So I like the aliens. And I liked all the little sub aliens, I think. And from my understanding, there's a lot more of those in like the TV series and subsequent movies.
Yes.
So like that's good because I really like
that was one of the most enjoyable parts of seeing all the
I like the silly aliens and their unfamiliarity with Earth stuff.
Yes, that's
which will
good.
Never get old.
No, I like, always love that sort of plot line. Where
yeah.
Like, what is this fork? Mysterious. That's always fun.
This drink pleases me.
Another. So yeah, I love the monsters.
That's good. After like years of not
after years
it.
And years, Joel's finally seen it.
I know, that was like the biggest thing. And like we started this, was like, I'm gonna watch Lilo and Stitch.
Wow.
I've never done this. So check that one off the list.
Yeah.
Next up is Treasure Planet.
Yeah.
Which I was so excited for as a kid.
Oh, I thought you meant you were so excited for now, and I thought you meant that there had been like something that had changed. And I was like, what? Oh, as a kid, yeah. You know, I remember watching the trailer in theaters and being like, yay.
Yeah, and this is another I didn't see. I saw it very recently.
Yeah.
So I didn't see it in theaters.
I saw it in theaters.
And I didn't see it until, like, I was graduated from college.
Jeez, John.
So, yeah. Now, this whole arc of... We're in a whole new arc of stuff I haven't seen. It's like the package films all over again.
We're getting to a couple of things I haven't seen.
So, yep. All right, well, I think that's it for me.
And me.
All right, until next time, Treasure Planet. Bye, everybody.
Bye, guys.